Hello everyone, welcome to this PNP webcast. Today we're going to talk about authentication options in the PNP core library. My name is Bert Janssen, I'm a service engineer in the SharePoint and OneDrive service engineering group. With me today I have Vesa Juvonen.
Yeah, my name is Vesa Juvonen, I'm a senior program manager in Office 365 engineering as well. I'll be today Bert's lovely assistant, and Bert is going to do the presentation.
Okay, thank you Vesa. All right, so what's this all about? When you create a SharePoint add-in, when you use the SharePoint client-side object model, you need a way to authenticate towards SharePoint. And for doing so, you need to have a client context object. So once you have a client context object, you typically use that client context object to operations against your SharePoint site. Now, in PNP, in the core library, we have an authentication manager class, which makes it super, super easy for you to create a client context, and not just a client context with a username and a password, but also for other options like app only, like using Azure AD, ADFS, and so on. So in this session, we're going to show you all the options that there are available in the Authentication Manager and PNP, show you how to set up the necessary things. For example, like if you use Azure AD, you need to set up an Azure AD application. So we're going to show you that. I'm going to give you a demo of the options.
Sounds good.
Now you might wonder, why do I need to do this? Because I've been building SharePoint add-ins all my life, and I've never had the need to do something like this. And that's true, because if you create a SharePoint add-in in Visual Studio, by default, Visual Studio will generate your code on how to create a client context based from the current session. So if your add-in loads and goes to SharePoint, you can use the typical code constructs that Visual Studio offers to you. Like here is a sample on the slide where you see that we use a SharePoint context provider to create an SP context object, which we then use to create a client context object. So this is a typical way in your SharePoint add-ins.
Oh, now, let's be specific, Bert, on there for provider hosted add-ins, obviously, because
sorry,
that's not JavaScript.
Absolutely correct, for provider hosted add-ins. That's true. That's true. Now, the world is not just provider hosted add-ins running in SharePoint. It's a bit more than that. So often you have a need to write code, for example, in a console application for testing purposes, or to create a web job that you later on want to publish to Azure. You want to make maybe bad jobs or remote timer jobs that run outside of SharePoint, or your code needs to use app only. So you want to have code that can operate against SharePoint without specifying a user and a password. Now, these cases, that's why we have developed Authentication Manager for, like, help you authenticate and get a valid client context object for this type of applications.
And on that one, actually, Bert, even though we just modified the slide slightly before we started recording, we actually missed one relatively specific scenario, which is that you could use the same authentication manager also if you create, let's say, an independent MVC, ASP.NET MVC application, and you want to connect to Office 365, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. If the application is totally running outside of SharePoint, is a web application running outside of SharePoint, you can use this approach as well. Well, any application, actually, correct.
How did we miss that one in the slide? No worries.
No worries, indeed. Early morning.
Indeed.
Moving on. This slide, this is important slide in the deck, because it gives you like the total view of the options available in Authentication Manager. So at the left side, we show the options available when you work against SharePoint Online. And you see those categories in yellow. We have a credentials category. So if you have a username and a password, you can use Authentication Manager to create a client context object using the Get SharePoint Online Authenticated Context Tenant method. Maybe we should do something about the names, Vesa. Like they're pretty long, but that's what it is today. So that method will ask you a username and a password and return you a client context object. There's also get web login client context, which is an interactive logon. Like you specify, I want to authenticate against this particular URL. So HTTPS, yourtenant.sharepoint.com/sites/something. At that point, you will be prompted to enter a username and a password. Based on that, you get a valid client context object. So that's the credentials section. For app only, we of course also have a method, which is called get app only authenticated context. In this case, you specify a client ID and a client secret. And together with, if those two elements are specified, you can have a valid client context object. These things will be shown in demo later on, so no worries if you don't immediately can visualize what's happening. And finally, for SharePoint Online, we have some rather new options which use Azure AD to define the application. So in the old, between brackets, old approach, when you create a SharePoint add-in, we use ACS, Azure ACS under the hood. Now, in newer approaches, you can also use directly define your application inside Azure AD, which gives you the advantage that you have a UI to define your application and give permissions and refresh your client secret, etc. So it's a bit more manageable and the future way of doing things. And the PNP Authentication Manager library also supports that. We have two options there. The first one is the Get Azure AD Native Application Authentication Context, so this guy over here, which is based on a native Azure AD application. I'm going to show you later on what that means. But essentially, it comes down to the fact that you have to specify your username and password when you use this option. So it requires you to authenticate. It will pop up and ask you for credentials. If you want to use Azure AD and do not want to specify credentials, then you have to use the other one, Get Azure AD App Only Authenticated Context, which works based on a certificate that you deploy to your environment, and then the certificate allows you to do app-only authentication, to allow you to authenticate, which you can then use app-only calls towards SharePoint. Obviously, this Get Web Login Client Context, which is prompting you for credentials, and this Get Azure AD Native Application Authenticated Context, those guys, since they prompt for credentials, they are not really usable in the batch scenario as such. So these are more meant for a console application where you want a PowerShell where you want the user to enter credentials. The other guys, the Get SharePoint Online Authenticated Context tenants and App Only Authenticated Context and this Azure AD App Only, they do work truly unattended. You just specify information that the method needs, and that's it.
Just a side note, Bert, on the length of the method names, even though they are pretty long, but they are pretty self-descriptive. So from that perspective, they're actually good.
Yeah,
so that's you can kind of figure out what's happening based on a method name.
Yes. For the SharePoint on-premises side, and in this case, we support both 2013 and 2016, so we're future-proof. We have we kind of mimic what we have in SharePoint Online. So we have Get Network Credential Authenticated Context. It's you just provide your network credentials. In this case, it's a user, domain, and password. We have something similar for ADFS. So we have a method that allows you to create a client context by directly going to an ADFS server. And that method is called Get ADFS Username Mixed Authenticated Context. And we also obviously support app only in on-premises using the Get App Only Authenticated Context. This requires that you have set up load trust because it requires ACS.
Just a quick question, Bert, to talk about the ADFS one. It's now for SharePoint on-premises. Just to clarify that for the people who are actually listening, what if I'm using ADFS in a SharePoint Online? because quite often a lot of enterprises and customers are actually using and connecting their ADFS to authenticate towards SharePoint Online.
Yes, so if you have ADFS and SharePoint Online, like indeed many companies do have, you don't need to think about it that much, because if you do the regular get SharePoint Online authenticated context, SharePoint is clever enough to redirect, and under the hood it will kind of call your ADFS environment to deal with authentication. So you as a developer don't have to worry about it.
Good thing to cover and mention. So.
Yeah, it might be confusing, like you don't need this ADFS method for SharePoint Online. Even if you're using ADFS for SharePoint Online, don't use this method because it will not work for you. We have a kind of plumbing under the hood that makes it easier for you, and you can use the regular authentication methods.
Sounds good.
All right. Now, the next section before the demo, I want to show you some of the setup operations that you need to do. Like the methods that require a username and a password, they're straightforward. You get your username and password somewhere and that's it. Now, other things like app only or the Azure AD options, they are slightly more complex, but definitely not too complex, but they require some pre-setup work before you can use these methods. So the upcoming three slides give you a bit more detail on what you need to do to prepare for using these methods. So let's start with the classic one, the one that a lot of people already have been using, I think, and that's the app only setup using ACS.
Which is only for SharePoint.
So which is only for SharePoint, true. Actually, I should have put ACS next to this one in the title. I will make that change before when we publish the slides. But essentially, it's a two-step process. We have app rec new. Register your application so you obtain an app ID and an app secret, which is registered in Azure ACS. So that's what this step is doing. So you generate app ID, generate app secret, give the title, give the domain and redirect URI. In this case, you might wonder, like, okay, I'm using the code from a console application. Why do I need to enter a redirect URI and app domain? I don't have a domain, and that's true. But it is required to define and register this, so you can plug in anything you want, actually. It just needs to be a valid domain and a valid URI. So here, like www.pnp.com. I don't think it even exists, so I didn't check.
But it does. I was checking out.
It does. All right,
so
it does.
We seem to be promoting some sort of an internet store with that URL.
All right. I'll ask royalties now. But yeah, it actually doesn't matter. It needs to just be valid URLs. You can put www.somethingweird.com. That probably also exists, but yeah, you get the point.
Yep.
All right, so this app rec new registers your application in Azure ACS. But at that point, your application doesn't have any permissions. Like in an interactive application, regular SharePoint add-in, you would do the same thing. And then the user installs the application in their site. And the first, when they do the installation of the application in the site, they are prompted to grant the application the permissions it's requesting. So that's the so-called consent dialog. Now, in this case, since you want to use this in a batch process and background, you can't deal with a consent dialog. And that's why we have this second step, appinf.aspx. And this, and you open this page, you can take any site, just take regular sites, /15/appinf.aspx. You plug in the app ID of the application that you created earlier on, do a lookup, it should find your title app domain redirect URL. If this doesn't work, your app ID is wrong or the application wasn't properly registered. But then interesting part is that you can paste the permission request XML in here and then hit on the OK button, which I cut off this of the image I see. But essentially what you're doing in this step is consenting the application, giving it the permissions that are defined in this permission request XML. if you want to use app only, it's really important, and let's try to zoom in slightly, that put this guy on true in your permission XML, allow app only policy. Otherwise, there is no app only. And the other part is more like the permission request, the scope. This is regular SharePoint scopes and rights. So in this case, it's the God permissions, tenant, full control. But you can also grant lower permissions if that would be needed. All right, this covers the SharePoint app only setup. Now let's move to the more newer ways of doing this. That's first is the Azure Native Application Setup. So in Azure AD, you can create an applications, and we will show you later on where to how to find the Azure AD and get to the applications. But essentially, you create a new application and you pick a type. So we start with the type Native Client Application. This is the type you would use for example, for in a Windows app or a phone app, or typically apps or non-web application solutions. You give the redirect URL. Again, doesn't have to exist, but it needs to be a valid URI. And you need this URI later on when you want to authenticate from SharePoint using this particular application. So you need to remember it. And then this kind of it from an application definition perspective. Bullet number three is just showing the result. Now, when you in Azure AD, when you register an application, it doesn't have any permissions yet. So you need to grant it permissions. So in this case, here below, we gave it delegated permissions and said like application can sign in and we can read items in all site collections. If you don't give it SharePoint permissions, it will not work. It will not allow you to read the SharePoint data. Remember that the Azure AD applications, they're not just for SharePoint, they are for Office 365 in the broader context. So you need to specifically grant it permissions to read SharePoint data. And this is the setup that we need for this get Azure AD native application authenticated context operation of the authentication manager. And finally, something that you shouldn't forget is, and you will be informed by Visual Studio because your solution won't compile without, but you need to add the ADL, the Active Directory library NuGet package, like shown over here. We have again similar steps, slightly more complex this time for the app only setup, because app only by definition
really simple
is
stuff.
Slightly more complex, yes. But once you get the hang out of it, it's not that hard. But it is a little bit more complex than the SharePoint ACS app only setup, that's true. And let me zoom in again. Oops, zooming in on the right screen, please. Oh. Again, defining an application, so you're adding an application. This case, important, this is a web application. So it's not a native client application. In a native client application, you cannot do app-only permissions. So that won't work. For a web application, you need to have a sign-on URL and an app ID URI. Again, these are identifiers. Since you're using app-only, then you don't really use them, but they need to be just valid URIs. You install the NuGet package, just like in the previous sample. And then comes the special part. Azure app-only authentication does work via a certificate. In the SharePoint app-only sample that we showed you, that the one using Azure ACS, so the old approach, app-only works based on the client ID and the client secret combination that you use. For Azure, if the application is defined in Azure AD, it's different. We have to have a certificate. The certificate is the proof to allow you in. So what you need to do, we need to somewhere create a certificate, either self-signed or commercial certificate. You need to have a certificate. And you need to link that certificate to your Azure AD application. So what is shown in step four here is let me slightly zoom in again, is a script that we have created, create self-sign certificate, that generates a valid self-sign certificate. I think the important thing here is that the key size must be 2048. Yeah, and something to be aware of, because if you create it with a lower key, it will fail. Once you have the certificate, you need to get some information from it. And that's in this step over here. So again, this script, and these scripts are available for you, no worries. But this script, this get self-signed certificate information script, will grab the information that you need to add to Azure AD, because Azure AD needs to know which certificate is allowed to for app only. So this script generates this key credential block, like you see over here, this block with information about the certificate itself. And in the final step, you will add this key credentials section in the manifest. So when each Azure AD application has a manifest, manifest is a JSON file which describes the application, and the UI that you see here in step one, step two, for example, or step seven, these are parts of the Azure AD UI. The UI allows you to manipulate part of the settings, but not all settings. So some settings can only be changed by downloading the manifest, updating the manifest, and uploading the manifest again. And linking the Azure AD application to a certificate is one of those operations that requires you to edit the manifest to make it work. So that's step six. And then the last step, the application needs permissions. Be aware that you granted application permissions. So there's a separate category of permissions for app only. If you give a delegate permissions, it won't work. And since you typically use delegate permissions, you might make that mistake. So be thoughtful about that. It's application permissions. All right, a lot of slides. Vesa, what do you think? Time for some demo?
Let's have some code. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so that's time for some demos. In this demo, I'm going to show you the different authentication options that we talked about. I'm not going to demo all of them, but let's show the most interesting ones.
That's good. Using code. Yes, Visual Studio. Whee!
Visual Studio and code. Yuppie! Okay, so this code that I use for this demo, it is available in the slides. So if you download the webcast deck, you will see that there is a sample code in there that shows all of this. Now, what we do here is actually relatively simple. We create a client context object. So you see that I'm creating a client context object being null. And in the end, I want to use that client context object to simply read the web title. So this is just a proof that the client context that I obtained is valid.
It's more around actually obtaining the contents rather than showing magnificent code.
Yeah. This is just about, can I get to the site and do something with it? That's all. Yeah. The whole point here is, does Authentication Manager work? And the code is organized in the SharePoint Online section and the SharePoint Premises section. So let's take this first, this is well-known sample. I have a username, I ask a password, and I want to see that this works. Press F5. Since this is a console application, building goes rather fast, and I'm prompted for my password. Now I need to enter the right password. Everything goes well. I hopefully will see my site title. And yes, I do.
Hello world. Hello world. Whee!
Exciting demo. Okay, this is something that you already have seen before, so not very spectacular. Let's go with that one again. Now, this one is a nice one. It's a relatively new one in the core library. It's the get web login client context. This is an interactive logon. You just specify the URL, and the authentication library will give you context for that particular URL. But it's interactive, so you need to log on. So if you press F5.
And what's kind of a cool side note on this one is this was a community contribution, right?
Yes, so absolutely.
This is something what came from the GitHub as a submission.
Yep, and it's a very good one. I really like it. It allows you in console applications, PowerShell sessions where you want to have some interactivity. This one makes it very easy. So it will, at runtime, generate a window, a form, and will load the web browser control in there and ask you to log in. So I'm going to pick my account, enter my password. If it goes well, I should end up on the same Hello World. Good. So that works.
And just to give credits on that one, that was Ivan Vagunin from Knowit who actually contributed that one.
Yep. Thank you, Ivan, for doing that. Really appreciate it. We have app only. Same story. You specify, in this case, for app only, it can work without the user interaction. So you need to have a client ID and a secret. So you specify those. Now, for recording reasons, I'm asking the secret at runtime. But in reality, in your applications, you typically put this information somewhere in a config file or in a secure location. So it's ask the secret. I'm going to paste in edit paste. And voila, this also works. Okay, now time for doing something new, some stuff that you haven't seen before. That's actually the Azure AD integration. So we have two options, as discussed in the slides. We can do it in interactive mode with a native Azure AD application. And in that case, you need the client ID and the URL that you associated with the application when you did register it in Azure AD. So let's have a look in Azure AD before we run the sample. So in here, I have opened up the Azure AD Manage. Let's zoom again. The Azure AD Management console, the old one. So you have a new console and an old management console. Azure AD manipulations can only be done in the old Windows Azure Management console. So manage.windowsazure.com. And in here, I will open up Bert's lab, which is the Azure AD directory. So when I click on that one, I can go to my applications over here. And then I see in the section applications my company uses. In this filter, I will have PNP demo and PNP demo 2. So PNP demo is the one that I created before. And that's the native application that I'm going to use. So I've opened up that application, click on configure. And here you see the client ID and the redirect URI that I'm going to use for the demo. So if you registered your own native application, you need to take those two values and plug them in over here. So the ID and the redirect URI. If I press F5, we will, under the hood, the PNP core library will use the Azure AD authentication library, ADAL, to authenticate to Azure AD. Since this is interactive, I need to specify an account and a password. So specify my way too long account name.
Yeah, you need to write that really long name quite a few times in the demos.
And it works. Good. But this is, again, interactive. There is no way to do this one without asking the user to log on.
And on that one, just quickly, Bert, it would have asked you to grant the permissions to the requested permissions, right? If you would not have done that already in the past.
Yes.
So because the native app is probably asking some permissions to on behalf of you as well.
Well, it depends slightly on whether you use in your own tenant or not. So there is some.
Sure.
If you in a multi-tenant application, definitely yes. In an own tenant application, typically not.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends. All right. Moving on to the last demo. Again, Azure AD, but this time we want to do app only. So you want to use the Azure AD capabilities, but without a user interaction. So you have your back job and that needs to do something against SharePoint or against the Exchange Online. Since this is Azure AD and you can use all the Office 365 components for which we have an API. Now in this case, the call is slightly more complex because I need to provide an app ID, which I have here. But I also need to provide my domain and a certificate. Now, in the method in the PNP call library has some overrides. So you can either provide a certificate via PFX file and the PFX file password. So that's one option. But you can also deploy the certificate into a certificate store on the machine and tell us which location the certificate is residing and give the thumbprint of the certificate. There's also a way how we can look up the certificate. The thing is that we need to have a certificate that we can present to Azure AD to authenticate. I remember in the slides we showed you how to configure the application and hook up the certificate. Now we need to, when we want to use it, we need to pass along the certificate to Azure, and that will kind of grant us the needed access. So when I run this guy, it's going to ask me for the password for my certificate file. So I have a PFX file with holding the certificate on my local file system. So write the password, and boom, same thing, same results. I get into my site. Let's zoom into this application in Azure AD as well. And somehow it timed out. Reloading. Almost there. Best I sing a song. Just for the wait time.
La 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 la. No, just kidding.
let's not sing a song. Okay, I'm going back to my Azure AD Active Directory applications. Flip the. Come on. Oh yeah, sorry, the search filter was somehow filled. Not sure why that happened. Here we are. All right, PNP demo 2. I want to quickly show you what I've mentioned in the slides. So this is the application, and if you go to the configure, you can set the client ID and the app ID URI and the reply URI, all of these things are available from the UI, from Azure AD, but not the option to link the certificate. So for doing that, you need to manage the manifest. So let's quickly show the manifest. I'm downloading the manifest. And let's actually open that one in Notepad and drag the window over here. So here you see the JSON file, which describes the application. So some of the settings can be managed from the Azure AD UI. But in this case, we have the key credentials section over here, which I added manually. So this is the thing that was described in the slide. You need to add this, you need to point it to a certificate in order to let Azure know, like, if this certificate is presented, it will allow it in. That's kind of what's happening over here. All right, I think that concludes the demo, Vesa.
Thanks, Bert. We did go through the basic setup. So we didn't go through the on-premises setup in this particular case, but those do work as well, and they've been tested in on-premises.
Yes, they're very similar.
Yeah. All good. Let's actually do a quick summary on the, on the things.
Quick summary. There are some resources. Essentially, these URLs point you to the Authentication Manager resources in the BMP core library. And to use the Azure AD app-only authentication, you need to create certificates and connect them to the application. And the same technology, the same approach is used in the BMP partner pack. So the whole description how to set those things up can be fetched from the BMP partner pack, including the scripts to create certificates. So these links point you to the proper resources for doing that. And that actually concludes this webcast. So I hope you enjoyed it and hope the Authentication Manager and the core library has no secrets anymore and that you see the value and start using it.
At least from an authentication perspective, let's put it this way. There's, well, I wouldn't call them secrets, but there's a lot of hidden gems in the
core
library.
Yes, that's better words. I agree. All right. Thanks, guys.
Cool. Thank you. Cheers.